If you have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. To me, this book has been not only a book that has kind of rebuked me in a way, and at the same time lifted me up, and then opened my eyes to the vanity of life. The vanity of life. I guess when you get older, when you're young, you really haven't lived, you know, like so many other people that are elderly. And I used to, when I was young, I used to talk to elderly people and they look at me with strange faces because, you know, they knew better than I knew. I thought I would, you know, they don't know anything. They're old. You know, your kids say that about you anyways. But, you know, when you get older, you know, you begin to see, going back into your past, all of the mistakes you made that you want to correct, but it's too late. And then at the same time, think of everything that God not only is doing in your personal life now as a child of God. And Solomon must have been a person that really just was amazed with his life because, I mean, he blew it. He blew it big time. He had it all. No wars. God had given everything to him through his dad, through his father, David. David could not build a house for God because he was a man of blood, but Solomon was the one to build a house for God and a house for himself. And yet he married women that were non-believers. And through those marriages, they came into the house of God and into Jerusalem, and they introduced their gods to the people of God. Infected them all. And Solomon now, as he's writing the book of Ecclesiastes, he writes in his old age, getting ready to die, where the Song of Solomon, he writes in his mid, you know, maybe 40s or 50s, and then the book of Proverbs, he's writing in his 30s about wisdom. And here he wants you to know, he wants me to know, he has understood that life without God is nothing. Nothing. You look at the people in the world today, they think they got it all. They don't have nothing. It's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. Unless we do it for God, it's everlasting. And Solomon, in his heart, knew that he had it all. And everything he had not remembered his Creator until he was old. And he writes about it here. It's amazing the way he writes. He starts in chapter 9 now. And here, you know, enjoying life under the sun. I mean, life is enjoy. I mean, we can enjoy life. Our life has to be moderate. We don't have to, you know, enjoy life in a wild way. But I mean, God can bless us now as believers. Because many times as believers, people say, well, the people in the world have more fun than we have. Because we have a bunch of do's and don'ts we do. You're free to do whatever you want to do. That's why the Holy Spirit has been given to you. You can do whatever you want to. People come up to me and say, do you drink? I say, I drink all I want. They look at me, you drink all you want? Yep. I said, I drink a lot of Dr. Pepper, a lot of, you know. But you know, I look at my dad's life with alcohol, and man, he ruined our life. And it starts in innocency, you know, drink a little bit here. And there are people that just drink one little cup when they begin, and because of their anatomy, whatever, they get hooked. And they become alcoholics. That's why the Proverbs 20 verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker, and those that drink it are stupid. Are stupid. I'm not saying that, go read it. He talks about that. And then Paul the Apostle in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, be you filled with the Holy Spirit, not with alcohol. Be you filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be you not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I love that. Drugs. You know, all of the vices of the world, man, that take people down and they keep them from the blessings of God. Because everything we do is temporal and not spiritual. And here is an expert in life, Solomon. Look how he begins chapter 9. He says, I consider all this in my heart, so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise in their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them. So the entire future of men is unknown, unknowable, but notice what he says, and anything in life can happen. That's why I want to be connected to God. If anything's going to happen in my life, man, I want to be connected to God. I want him behind my life. I don't just want to be wild out there and not have God in my life. I want to make sure that he's in control. He's the one that is allowing things in my life, and he's the one that is stopping things in my life. So to me, this is encouraging. Because Solomon saw that good people and wise people, all that they do are in the hands of God. That's what we forget. That one day you and I are going to be judged. And we're in the hands of God. And whenever we get out of the will of God, we're no longer in the hands of God, because we want to do it our way and not God's way. So what does God do? Paul the Apostle, Hebrews chapter what? 12. He says, whoever he loves, if a father loves his child, what does he do? He spanks him. He corrects him. He disciplines him. If you're a real child of God, you cannot get away with anything in your life. God will smack you because he loves you. If you are doing weird things in your life and you're not getting smacked, then you're not a son and daughter of God. Read your Bible. The world, they think they're getting away with everything, and the Bible says what? Because Satan is their father. They're going to be judged big time. Big time they're going to be judged by God. He goes on and he says, verse 2, all things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, and that to the good and the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath, as he who fears an oath. So the worshiper and the non-worshiper all end in the same place. Where? The grave. We all die. We're all buried. But don't forget, there's a difference between heaven and hell. Hell is for those that do not have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And those that do not have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, then they have hell. It's only a place of temporary discomfort. Then they have the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. Revelation 20:11-15. Not so for the child of God. When we die, there's no worry. This is a tent. The tent gets old and gets a lot of holes. And when it's done with it, it goes back into the ground. 14 elements of dirt goes back into the earth. And if you put a little water, it turns into mud. That's what we are. And yet we think we're so big and so strong. And God can go and just blow you away. Man, our dependency has to be on the Lord. He's the only one that can keep us. He goes on, he says, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. That's true. The heart is deceitful, let's be wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know it. He says, madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. Notice that. What people forget, there's a day of judgment coming. Go ahead and enjoy what you're doing, but remember, you're going to stand before God. One day, doesn't matter what you say, you will stand before God one day. This is the greatest calamity in life. That people don't think that they're going to die. They claim all classes of men are the same. No, God separates those that are his and those that are not his. Those that are in the light and those that are in darkness. Those that are obedient and those that are disobedient. That's the way God separates. Verse 4. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. That is, he has something to look forward to, not like an animal. The lion, that's nothing to look forward to. We do. Heaven or hell. Enjoyment and comfort today. Worshiping, praising God. Having peace in our lives. Knowing that, hey, I'm a stranger, I'm a pilgrim in this world. Man, I'm a short timer. I'll be with him one day forever and ever and ever. Then he says in verse 5, for the living know that they will die. But the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Now here he doesn't understand really eternity. Remember, he was backslidden. Some things he said are good and some are not good. Because think about the wicked dead. Where do they end up? They end up in hell. And the righteous dead, they go to heaven. They don't go to the same place. In the time before Christ came into the world, everybody that died, righteous and unrighteous, they all went to the same place. But what did God do? He drew a line, remember? There was a gulf separating it. Abraham's bosom and the place of torment on the other side. And when Christ died and rose again from the dead, what's the first thing he did before he resurrected? When he was on the cross, they took him down, put him in the grave. While he was in the grave, he went down and descended to hell. To do what? To go to Abraham's bosom and set the captives free and say, listen, we're going home. And he took them out of hell, and hell became one major place. One major place. Remember the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me. The other one was damned. He never repented. It's amazing how God's word speaks to people, but they don't listen. They don't listen to the truth. Verse 6. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. So again, he's talking about that person that is dead. And he doesn't really understand that when you go to hell, you are going to stand before the white throne judgment of God to be judged for your works. For everything you did. That's why the books are open. God is writing everything down from the time you're born to the day you die. And if you're a non-believer, everything is there. The moment you come to Jesus Christ, everything that was written when you were a sinner is erased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Gone. No record. But not so for the non-believer. Not so for them. They're going to be in deep, deep trouble, man. Deep, deep trouble. And they don't understand that. Verse 7. He said, go and eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your work. So he's talking as the preacher. The preacher comes back now to the basic what conclusion of all things. Make the best of your life, because your life is short. It's not long. It is short. Verse 8. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. And here some people think that the world was made just for people to be here. You know, they have the whole thing of evolution. But God made this planet so that people could be under him. Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden? God made man perfect. Totally perfect. And when he sinned, then everybody else that was born after that sinned against God. And that's the reason Jesus Christ had to come to the world. To die for the sins of the world. Then he says, verse 8, let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. All the days of your empty life. Notice that. The men are saying, amen, amen. No. He has given you under the sun all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. So the joys of the married relationship should always be what? Enjoy now. Because when you go to heaven, there's no more marriage. Sorry. No more marriage. No more marriage in heaven. We'll be like the angels. Interesting. No more. And we really don't understand that. Who knows what God has for us, man? Imagine, incredible, what God has for us. Then he goes on. He says in verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Notice that. You know, make sure that if you're going to do it now, because later on you can't do it. It's a done deal. He says, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the breadth to the wise, nor the riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and change happens to them all. So another thing that he's actually bringing up here, that everything doesn't happen by good luck. God is in control of life. He knows what's going on. Verse 12, for man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in all evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Notice what he's saying here. This is kind of true because we don't know really when we're going to die. I mean, but Hebrews chapter 9 says there's an appointed time for a man to die and then judgment. This is why I keep pressing to you guys and to myself. When people come to counsel with me, they have cancer. And they say, well, should I take chemo or should I not take chemo? That's between you and your husband or wife and God. And so it's important that you go before God. I cannot make that decision for you. You have to make it for yourself. And that's why we live how many years? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100, and then eternity comes. That's what he's trying to say. We're all going to die, and then the judgment will come. Verse 13. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seems great to me. So here's another heartache. You notice that it's before here in life, that wisdom is not always appreciated. People don't want to listen sometimes. They're stubborn. And then you say, okay, well, then don't listen. Learn the hard way. Verse 14, there was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now, there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. So as soon as the crisis was passed, no one was interested in what he had to say. You know how people are? They go through a crisis, and then they say, oh, well, nothing really happened. I have nothing to say. And that's not true. We have a lot of things to say. Then he says, words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard. This is true. Rather than the shout of ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Notice the wisdom here is superior to any weapon in this world. Wisdom. Wisdom. I wish our leaders would use wisdom. It would be a better country and a better nation and a better world. Chapter 10. He says, Ecclesiastes 10:1, dead flies, a putri, and perfumer's ointment, and cause it to give off foul odor, so that's a little folly to the one respected for wisdom and horror. Now he's talking here about a man that's trying to build a good reputation, but ruins it in a moment. Think about that. I mean, you're trying to build a reputation, and you want to have integrity, and it only takes one time for people to mistrust you for what you did. Like child molestation. Like adultery, lying, cheating. Think about that. How many people have lost their reputation for something that was not important? Just for a moment of lust. It's done. We need to have integrity all the time. Look what he says in verse 2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is on his left. Even when a fool walks along the way, notice, he lacks wisdom. Notice that. And he shows everyone that he is a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post. For consolation pacifies great offenses. So it's better to be meek and submissive and to be a peacemaker than make trouble for other people. There is an evil I have seen under the sun as an error proceeding from the ruler. So another inconsistency here, notice, that bothered Solomon. There is an evil I have seen under the sun as an error proceeding from the ruler. Then he says, folly is set in great dignity, which the rich sit in lowly place, exalting the rich, he talks about. I have seen the servant of horses while princes or leaders walk on the ground like servants. This happens in politics. This happens in industry. This happens in the military service. And it happens in religious life as well. Look what he says. He who digs a pit will fall into it. And whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them. He who splits wood may be endangered by it. So here he's talking about the legitimate activities having a risk attached to whatever we do in life is dangerous. You climb on a ladder, you can fall, you can get hurt, or you can get killed. No matter what we do, there's dangers in life. Then he says in verse 10, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. That's true. But wisdom brings success. So wisdom tells you what? You need to sharpen it. Then he says, a serpent may bite when he is not charmed, and the babbler is not different. And then he says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. Notice that. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. Wow. A fool also multiplies words. You know, he doesn't know how to shut up. He speaks stupidity. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? And then he goes on to say this. The labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. Notice that. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your leaders feast in the morning. So now he's talking about the piety of the land whose rulers here are immature and very impossible in governing and ruling over the people. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles, or your leaders feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, house leaks. So he's talking about lazy people. You hire somebody to work in your house, but they're not working in your house because they're lazy. Hey, get rid of them. Or you have employees like that, or maybe your employer's like that. Go to another employer, you know. He's talking about laziness. A feast is made for laughter. A wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Is that true? That's not true. You see, he's talking as a backslidden person. Do not curse the king even in your thought. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom. For a bird in the air may carry your voice. Remember, there's a little birdie that cares when you're gossiping about people. The little birdie goes out and takes what you're saying. That's an old saying. A bird in flight may tell the matter. Notice that. And then chapter 11, he starts. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. So again, he's talking here about the more you give to God, the more God will return to you. That's what he's saying. And yet, look at people today, how they're afraid to give to God because they say, we don't have enough. Listen, he wants to give what? Sacrificially. Not what you have, is what you don't have that God wants. What God wants from you. Verse 2. He says, give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. You know, what he's saying here is be careful how you invest your monies. Notice what he's saying here. Think of how many rip-off people are out there that try to, you know, they're asking you to invest with them and they end up taking your money. He says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie fully and completely. Now, I was thinking about all those people. They were professional people that invested money with that guy in New York, remember? And he said, I'm going to get you interest at 12%, 15%. You'll make money like you never have. And the whole time he was spending it. And they all got ripped off. Be careful where your money is, man. Be careful. There's people that take advantage of people. Then he goes on to say, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. So he's talking here about being cautious. There are dangers at all times. Be careful where you walk. Be careful where you are. As you do not know what is in the way of the winds. You see, this is true. Of how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with a child. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. So here, Solomon, he's talking about everything that's going on in his life. And then he says, in the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand. Notice, it's necessary to do God's will. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So here the best policy is to fill the days all kinds of productive work. So at the end, you don't have to worry about it. But if you're lazy, at the end, you will pay for it. Here he says, be wise what you do in your life. Verse 7, truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. If a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. You know, it's great to be young and healthy and, you know, and very, very strong and very good in consciousness sake, you know, thinking, but there's a day that will come that you'll get old. Everything slows down. You have to be helped. Verse 11 continues, for they will be many. All that is coming is what? Vanity. This is not true. Our labor is for the Lord, not for the world. God is going to give us a reward for our labor. Our labor is not in vain. It's for the Lord. Everything that we do in this world that is not connected with the Lord, it's all empty and vain. It doesn't count. Remember, at the Bema Seat of Christ, when we are judged, we're not going to be judged for our sins. We're going to be judged for our prayers, for our praying, our reading, our studying, our witnessing, our church attendance. All these things that are spiritual things that we're building in the kingdom, that will be the reward you'll receive. He says, and those that are put into the fire, gold, silver, wood, hay, and stubble, whatever is left, you'll get the reward. The value of it, but if there's no value, you'll be saved as by the fire. You have nothing to show. Salvation is free. Notice that. Verse 9. Rejoice, O young men, in your youth. Here's for young people. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Whoa. Mark that. It's the day of judgment coming. When you start young and you get old, you will be judged. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are emptiness of life. Remember now, it starts in chapter 12, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. I love that. Here's Solomon in concluding the book of Ecclesiastes. He takes us back. He's going to talk about old age. And he says, when you're old, I want you to know this. Remember now the Creator in the days of the youth. When you were young, go back and remember how you served the Lord, you loved the Lord. Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I mean, you talk to older people today, you go, hey, let's go hike. Hike? Are you kidding me? I don't want to hike. I just want to sit and watch TV. You know, they don't have any strength like the young people ready to go. But when you get old, when you go to your 30s, 40s, 50s, things begin to change. That's what he's talking about. He says, verse 2, while the sun is light and the moon and the stars are not darkened and the cloud do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, and that's when, at first he starts out, when you start shaking. Notice in the first verse, verse 3. And then the second part of it, when strong men bow down, when you get hunchback, notice. And when the grinders cease because they are few, that's when your teeth fall out, okay? And you're like, what'd you say? Walking around. And those that look through the window grow dim. That's your eyes. When you're looking around, you bump into walls and all that stuff. I'm starting to do that. No, I'm just kidding you. He says, and when the doors are shut, in the streets. And the sound of grinding is low when one arises up, and the sound of a bird. And all the daughters of music are brought low. That means when you get old, you wake up early. You can't sleep late anymore. And you know what's amazing is how many people, when we get older, you know, they lose their sight, they lose their hearing, all these things are going on. But at the same time, even losing our sleep, that gives you more time to pray, more time to pray for your kids, more time to pray for your grandkids, your wife, husband, whoever it is, or to pray for the world. You can be a missionary right where you are. A missionary right where you are. Then he goes on. He says, this is so cool the way he does this. He says, and also they are afraid of heights. You know, they get up, they go, oh, not me, you know. 3-foot wall. Oh, I can't jump that anymore, you know, because my knees, you know, all that. And then he comes up and he says, it's so beautiful. Remember your creator before the silver cords is loose, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain. Advice for wise people here. Or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. Our body goes back where? To the earth. And the spirit still will return to God who gave it. Isn't that cool? Vanity, now he wakes up. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is emptiness of life. Notice that. All is emptiness of life. Think how people that are young don't see that yet. You know, they don't see that. And yet one day they're going to come to that place and everything, when I look back at my life, man, how stupid. Emptiness of life. Man, it's so cool that God saved me in this last 40 years, man. It's been the most amazing time in my life. I mean, I got the best job in the whole world to serve the Lord, man. It's incredible. I could have been dead. And God gave me that second chance, man, to do that. And so when I read these scriptures, it really speaks to my own heart. I don't know what it does to you, but it speaks to my heart. Then he says this. And moreover, because the preacher, Solomon, was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, and he pondered and sought out and said in order many proverbs. Remember, he wrote 3,000 proverbs. And what's amazing to me is that when he started his ministry back in the book of Kings, chapter 3, he started when he was real young. So what does he do? He prays to God, and he goes to bed, and then he has a vision. And the Lord says to him, because he's humble, he says, not only that you did not ask me for money or power or anything else, I'm going to give you wisdom, I'm going to make you a millionaire, and I'm going to be with you because you never asked for anything, I'm going to give it all to you. And when God gave him everything when he was serving God, then he abused it and misused it, and then he lost it all. Sad. Emptiness of life. Vanity of life, because he did not know how to be a good steward of what God had given to him. And I think of how many people like Solomon are like that. You could have had it, and you had it, and now you don't, because you were not a good steward. And I'll share this with you. If you're here tonight, man, and you are in debt, and you can't get out of debt, man, I would pray to God, because what you're giving in the credit card, you know, interest, it's not good. They're going to have you for the rest of your life in bondage. And to me, my philosophy is this. I tell my kids the same thing. I won't bail them out. I said, if God provides, awesome. If I can't afford it, I'm not going to buy it. And a lot of times people look at that credit card and they go, I can afford everything. Sure you can. But at the end of the month, you're going to pay for it with interest. With interest. It's better to be satisfied with what God's given to you and wait upon the Lord when he supplies it. And when you give to God, and not just to give to God, okay, God, I'm giving to you so you can give me back. It doesn't work that way. When you're really honest with God and you give sacrificially what belongs to God, I promise you, you will never lack in anything. Nothing. I was telling the staff after the volunteers this afternoon that to me, it is amazing that the first day that I got saved and the day that God called me to the ministry, we have never asked for one penny from anybody. God's always provided. Always provided. Even in the times when I had nothing, I'm not kidding you and I'm not exaggerating, people would come with actually bags of food and they would leave it on my doorstep. I had everything and God took everything away from me where I had to pray. Why? Because he was going to make me a steward of all this God's given to us. God gave it to us, not to me, he gave it to you and all of us here. And we have to be good stewards. If you're not faithful in the little things, how can God make you bigger in the bigger things? How can he trust you? If you're not even good with your own money, how can he trust you with the things of God? So I pray tonight that you would go home and you would pray to God and ask him what you need to do to get out of debt. And get out of debt immediately. And don't buy another thing and don't do anything with your credit card until you pay it off. Because if you don't, man, it's going to catch up with you. And it's going to destroy you. Sooner or later, it will destroy you. So here again, he says, look again, verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth it was, and the spirit returns. And then verse 9. And moreover, because of the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and said in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads. That's a stick with a nail. When you hit, you know, you strike the ox to keep moving. He says, and the words of the scholars are like the well-driven nails. Given by one shepherd. Who's the shepherd? Jesus Christ, the true shepherd of our lives. And further, my son, be admonished by these of making many books. There is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Amen to that. Notice that. Think of how many, I said those jets going here and there, and people are reading the stupid books, man. They have no meaning, these novels. No reality. You know, when you can be reading something about God that's real, or a book about holiness or purification or whatever it is, eschatology, whatever, to increase your knowledge in the Lord. But to sit there, listen, read, or whatever it is you're doing that is emptiness and vain, man, you're wasting your time. And that's why Solomon says here, Solomon warns here that reading, you know, the conclusion of reading things that are not edifying, building up, they're all emptiness, it's nothing. Verse 13, here's the conclusion, you guys. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, okay? Here's what he says about everything. Fear God and keep his commandments. Wow, isn't that cool? For this is man's all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I love it. Notice the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to fear God and obey his word. Fellowship with God. Verse 14, watch this. For God will bring every good work, where? Into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The white throne judgment, the bema seat of Christ. Men will be judged. Men, women, everyone in the world, non-believer and believer. White throne judgment for the non-believer, the what? The actual judgment of the seat judgment of Christ is for the believer. And one day, when I think about this, is what he says in Revelation 20. He says in verse 11, can you imagine when the books are open? In every name that went to hell, it's written. And then he's going to start reading every sin against them. But when we come in the presence of the Lord, it's going to be like this, white. Not one thing will be written, but in their book, there's going to be black ink all over the place. Man, how I thank God that we need to fear God, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Verse 13, you should put in your Bible. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is men's all. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Father, we come before you this evening to thank you so much for your grace, for your love, for your mercies. For these beautiful people, Lord. For those watching through the internet, God, we pray for them, Jesus. Lord, we ask you that you would have mercy upon us, Jesus. Lord, we give you all the honor. We worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray that you just continue to lead and guide and provide, Father, in every way. And if there's anybody here tonight, just real quick, if there's anybody here that's a sinner, you've never accepted Christ in your life, you know, if you want to go to hell, then you don't have to raise your hand, you know. But if you don't want to go to hell, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and come up here to the front, and I'm going to pray with you. And God's going to give you forgiveness of your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to wipe out every one of your sins. And then he's going to write your name in the book of life, and he's going to give you eternal life because he needs you to repent of your sins. So when you come up here, you're going to repent, you're going to confess, and then you're going to receive eternal life. That if you were to die today or tomorrow or the next day, you will go to heaven. I don't care what you've done. Young, old, doesn't matter. We're going to worship now. You get up and you come. If you want Christ, come up here to the front. Father, we pray now for these that have come, Jesus. And Father, for those that are watching through the internet too, Lord Jesus, we pray for them. What I want you guys to do with me is I want you to pray this prayer with me and ask Christ into your lives, okay? Pray with me aloud this prayer. Dear Jesus, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you guys a Bible right over here. Turn around and go right over there, you guys. Awesome, awesome. That is so neat. What a blessing.